Thank you all for joining Citizens Climate Lobby's introductory information session. My name is Sarah Wanis, and I'm the membership coordinator here at CCL. A little bit about my background here. I got started with Citizens Climate Lobby as a volunteer as an undergraduate at Chapman University, where I was studying economics and environmental science and policy. And I'm lucky to work at our San Diego headquarters, where I also go to school in San Diego at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography. I'm getting my master's in climate science and policy there. And also on the call tonight, we have the wonderful Ellie Sparks. Ellie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Sarah. So I am the Director of Field Development for Citizens Climate Lobby. I started the first chapter of CCL in Virginia. That was about a decade ago. And I am a mother and now a grandmother with a 9-month-old grandbaby and also a farmer. And I am glad you're here on the call with us. Looking forward to spending the next hour with you.
Great. And we've got just a little bit of housekeeping before we move on to the fun stuff. So first of all, after tonight's call, we're making two promises to you. The first is to connect you with your local group leader so you can take local action. So look for an email from them by early next week. Secondly, we're promising to connect you with additional training opportunities. So you all already received a username and login to CCL Community, which is our volunteer communications platform, and you'll be receiving some more direction about places where you can find additional trainings on there and the trainings that we recommend next after this call. And now this is my email. I'm going to say it a couple times for the people on the phone. It's membership@citizensclimate.org. Again, that's membership@citizensclimate.org. And there's a couple of reasons that you might want to email me after today's call. So first of all, if you're on this call without having registered for the call, so if you clicked a link that a friend forwarded you in an email, or if you're in a room with other people right now and you're not the one who registered, or if you just don't remember putting your information into CCL's website, make sure you email me so that I can follow up with you and get you that promised follow-up information. If you registered and you clicked the link in the email that was sent to you, there's no need to email me. We will record that you were on the call and send you that follow-up information automatically tomorrow. The other reason that you might want to email me after today's call is if you don't hear from that local group leader by, say, Wednesday of next week. If you don't hear from them by Wednesday of next week, I promise that there are so many things for you to be doing in your community, and it's not that they're ignoring you. It's just that our local group leaders are also volunteers, so it's possible that they are on vacation or extra busy at work. But if you email me, I can make sure that you get connected with them or the state coordinator for your area. So again, my email is membership@citizensclimate.org. All right, and now moving on to the fun stuff. So I joined Citizens Climate Lobby because I was looking for solutions that are good for both the environment and the economy. How about you, Ellie?
Thank you, Sarah. So I joined up with Citizens Climate Lobby because I want a stable climate for my children and now my granddaughter. And it's my commitment to my children and my grandbaby that keeps me going with CCL today. Now, you on the call, we can imagine that you realize that man-made climate change is real and threatening us today. You are looking for a way to help out, and you probably realize that at this point, we need a systemic change, and you have a hunch that Congress might be a key in moving us from high carbon to low carbon energy. Now, at Citizens Climate Lobby, we've got a couple of things going for us, and we think these things will help you to meet your climate goals. So first of all, we've got a bill in Congress that has been vetted by scientists, reviewed by policy experts, and assessed by independent economists. Second, we've got a proven methodology for working with Congress. And third, we have a founder with strong values and guiding principles. So we're going to tell you a little more about our founder, our bill, and our methodology. And during the second half of the call, we will make plenty of room to answer your questions. So first of all, our founder, Marshall Saunders. Marshall is a businessman who, like all of us, has something in particular that inspires his action on climate. So Marshall has dedicated the past 3 decades to the effort of eradicating poverty. He's devoted his time, talent, and treasure to specific programs designed to help poor people launch small businesses. When Marshall first learned about climate change, he recognized that global warming was already threatening poor people and undermining the efforts that he and so many others had put into helping people rise from poverty. So Marshall decided that if he was serious about solutions to poverty, he needed to become serious about solving the climate crisis as well. So as a result, 12 years ago, Marshall started Citizens Climate Lobby with three groups in San Diego. Today, we have 553 chapters all over the world, with 457 of those in the U.S., and we are covering over 90% of congressional districts in the U.S. Now, you'd think our volunteers would slow down in August, and yes, many of them did go on vacation, but nevertheless, in the U.S., they also collectively held 81 lobby meetings during the August congressional recess. Passed the milestone of getting 1,000 public endorsements for the HR 763, which we'll talk about on the call, and passed 9 new municipal resolutions in support of the bill, added 3 co-sponsors to the legislation since the beginning of the month, and we're up to 62 co-sponsors, and published 374 letters to the editor, which is our highest total so far for the year. Now, in his volunteering to address poverty, Marshall joined up with a group that had developed a specific approach to organizing citizens to empower Congress to take action. Marshall took that proven methodology and applied it to climate solutions. That group's name is Results, and we've expanded on that methodology, and we'll describe it to you shortly. First, though, I'm going to tell you about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So Citizens Climate Lobby has advocated for a carbon fee and dividend style policy for more than a decade. Late last year, Congress introduced the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act in both the House and the Senate with both Republican and Democrat sponsors. When the 116th Congress started this past January, the House reintroduced the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, HR 763, and CCL advocates for this specific bill. The Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act will drive down America's carbon pollution and bring climate change under control while unleashing American technology, innovation, and ingenuity. This effective bipartisan climate solution is good for people, good for the economy, and good for the planet. Now, we support the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act because it works. The policy will reduce America's emissions by 40% within 12 years, which is leaps and bounds beyond the effectiveness of any current greenhouse gas regulations. Economists and scientists support the act because it's simple, comprehensive, and effective. Now, in addition to protecting against climate change, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act is good for people. First of all, the policy will improve health and save lives by reducing pollution that Americans breathe. An estimated 60,000 people die prematurely every year because of pollution. When we reduce the carbon pollution, we will reduce these premature deaths. This is especially important for environmental justice communities. In the U.S., 70% of African Americans live within 30 miles of a coal-fired power plant. Secondly, the carbon dividend puts money directly into people's pockets every month to spend as they see fit, thus helping low and middle income Americans. Now, not only is the bill good for people, but it's also good for the economy. The bill will create job growth right here on American soil, on main streets, in hospitals, and in manufacturing. The policy will create 2.1 million additional jobs in the first decade alone. Now, with its bipartisan support, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act demonstrates a growing number of Republicans and Democrats see climate solutions as a bridge issue, not a wedge issue. The co-sponsors are, the original co-sponsors are Representative Ted Deutch, Democrat from Florida, and Representative Frances Rooney, Republican from Florida. And as I mentioned, the co-sponsors has grown to 62 representatives in the House. Now, Republicans and Democrats are both on board co-sponsoring the bill. The majority of Americans support Congress taking action on climate solutions, including more than half of Republican millennial voters. Solving climate change is too important to get caught up in partisan politics. Now, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act uses a carbon fee and dividend approach, which works like a three-legged stool. With the first leg, we place a steadily rising fee on carbon. We assess the fee upstream only on the fossil fuel companies directly to keep the administrative costs low. We start the fee at $15 per ton of CO2 and increase by $10 per ton each year with the increase indexed to inflation. So that means the $10 per ton is on top of inflation. Now, the second leg of our three-legged stool sees to it that 100% of the net revenue collected from this fee gets allocated equally to households. Our third leg of the stool is the border carbon adjustment. This adjustment puts a fee on goods coming from countries without a similar price on carbon. Now, the co-sponsors included a regulatory pause, and I'm going to tell you about their thinking on that. Currently, there are a small number of regulations on greenhouse gas emissions. In fact, many aren't even in effect because they're tied up in courts. The Energy Innovation Act is exponentially stronger than this list of current greenhouse gas regulations. So the bill includes a regulatory pause that goes like this. Clean Air Act and CAFE standards for cars stay in full force. The pause is for any new regulation on greenhouse gas because the fee more than covers what those regulations would attempt to address. After 5 years, we begin assessing the effectiveness of the Energy Innovation Act. If emission reductions in any year do not meet specific targets, the bill automatically increases $15 instead of $10 for that year. And after a decade, if we do not meet or exceed our climate goals, even with the higher rate of increase, the bill requires the EPA to regulate greenhouse gas emissions so that we can meet our climate goals. Now, in general, Republicans distrust regulations and Democrats trust regulations. This regulatory pause is bipartisan collaboration at its best. The Democrats agree to a pause, allowing the act to prove itself. The Republicans agree to regulations if the act isn't meeting its climate goals. Now, both Republicans and Democrats want to solve the climate crisis, and they are being respectful of the other group's core values with this elegant solution. Now, making a political judgment call, the bill's co-sponsors added two exemptions, agriculture and military. Both of these sectors function independently from the U.S. economy. The Farm Bill frames the agriculture sector. The Pentagon shapes the military budget. Respecting this reality, the bill exempts military and farm fuel. Now, moving forward, we will focus on three tasks to support the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. First, we will continue growing our list of sponsors for the House version of the bill. We've had great success with members of key House committees joining as co-sponsors, which will make it easier for the bill to move through the required committees. Second, we look to the Senate to reintroduce a bipartisan Senate version of the bill. And third, we build awareness in the media, among local, state, and national leaders, and with everyday citizens like our neighbors, friends, family members, and coworkers. Now, if you want to learn more about the bill, please visit the bill website, energyinnovationact.org. And now I'm going to turn it back to Sarah so she can tell us about our methodology. So Sarah, back to you.
Yes, so now you're probably all wondering how exactly we're going to get all of this done. So this is where we get to talk about our methodology. We've got ourselves organized in communities across the country where our volunteers divide and conquer, working as teams within their local chapters. Each team focuses on five areas of political leverage, which we call our five levers of political will. They are 1, lobbying, direct lobbying, 2, local media, 3, grassroots, which is outreach, 4, grass tops, which is endorsements and coalition building, And 5, which is group and volunteer development. Now I'll go through how all of these teams work together in a chapter to help us meet our goals. So we've got teams in each chapter that are focused on each of these points of leverage. So for example, in each chapter, you'll find 4 to 5 volunteers who meet regularly with the member of Congress, both in DC and back in the local community, often several times a year. In between those meetings, we have a special volunteer whom we call a CCL Congressional Liaison. And this volunteer will touch base more frequently with the congressional staff, and all of this work helps us build relationships with members of Congress. Now, lobby volunteers may bring with them handwritten letters to the member of Congress when they meet with them. In fact, where do they get those letters, you might be wondering? They get them from other volunteers. And in fact, they might have even gotten some of those letters from people who aren't official members of the CCL chapter yet, such as some of our volunteers might have hosted a letter writing party where they got their friends and family to come over for some snacks and to write letters to their member of Congress calling for solutions to climate change. Another group of our volunteers may have stood all day at an Earth Day tabling event or at a climate strike or at a or at any other climate event and gotten or even at a farmer's market and gotten their or members of their community to write letters to the member of Congress. And the lobby team will then take that huge stack of letters to the member of Congress to show all of the support in their local community for the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act and climate solutions. The lobby team might also bring copies of letters to the editor that the local members have gotten published in the newspaper. There may have even been a team of other volunteers who met with the editorial page editors of the newspaper, and as a result of that meeting, the local newspaper endorses the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So the lobby team would then bring that editorial page endorsement with them to the meeting with the member of Congress to show further support. Or it could be that the lobby team brings a local respected civic, faith, or business leader, someone whom the member of Congress trusts or looks to for advice or considers a friend. That local leader can then share their endorsement of our bill with the member of Congress. Or the lobby team could bring a stack of written endorsements from a bunch of local businesses who have endorsed the Energy Innovation Act to show the support from the business leaders in their community. Our volunteers might even host a site visit by the member of Congress to a local business working on climate solutions, like farmers who extract carbon from the atmosphere and store it in soil and plants. You even have members of Congress visit schools where elementary school students thank the member of Congress for talking about climate solutions, and high school students make the case for solving the climate crisis. So endorsements can really come from all ages. Now you might decide to help with any of these efforts, or you might want to help with presentations. Some of our volunteers line up the presentations. Other volunteers will actually go and give those talks, and more volunteers still will go with them to network in the audience before and after the event. So it really takes a team to give a CCL presentation. Or you might decide to join the hospitality committee to make sure that when your group meets, they've got nourishment, good food, and something to drink. You might offer to be the person who stands at the door and welcomes new members to their first meeting, or and get them connected and trained. One way or another, your current skills and talents will get put to good use in a CCL chapter and will help you get trained on anything new that you want to try or explore here at CCL so you can accomplish everything that you set out to do. Now, folks often ask where this methodology has gotten us, like what successes have we had? And Ellie's going to walk through a couple of our favorites with you now.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. So I love this list of 9 carbon pricing bills in Congress, in this current Congress. We aren't even halfway through the 116th Congress. And 2 of those bills are bipartisan, including the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So this is, we're already ahead by 1 in comparison to the previous Congress and the 2 Congresses before that. It was 7 bills and 5 bills, and all of those were all Democratic sponsors of those bills. So we've seen bipartisanship grow around carbon pricing, and we've seen the number of bills that Congress is putting out also increase. Now, I love the work that's being done by our local leaders, letting Congress know that it's important for them to lead on climate solutions. In early July, the United States Conference of Mayors passed a resolution that urges the United States Congress to pass legislation that imposes a price on carbon emissions sufficient enough to reduce carbon emissions in line with the ambitions detailed in the Paris Agreement on climate change. Now, throughout the country, our volunteers played an instrumental role in activating their mayors. And a big shout out to our volunteers in Salt Lake City, because the Honorable Jackie Buscuspe, their mayor, led the charge in creating and passing the resolution. So it's wonderful to see bipartisan collaboration, Republican and Democratic mayors supporting a price on carbon to reduce emissions. And then third, a big shout out to our volunteers in Canada who've been at it almost as long as those of us in the U.S. Last October, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced that Canada's backstop carbon pricing policy would be a carbon fee and dividend style policy. If a province hadn't yet sufficiently priced carbon to address climate change, then they would be getting a carbon fee and dividend style policy. And that has begun to happen. January, the bill, the law unrolled for industries, April for households. And I love this next picture of our Canadian volunteers at the Canadian Parliament. They have been lobbying devotedly for this, and it's wonderful to see their success to the north of us. So I'm going to pass it back to Sarah to tell us more about what you can do for some additional training.
Yes, so I wanted to formally introduce you all to CCL Community. Community is our volunteer communications platform, and it's a really great resource for all of our volunteers. You have already received a username and password to Community. It's in the very first email that you ever got from CCL. So after this call, I definitely encourage you to go back and find that email and log into Community and start exploring all of the resources that we have there. So I'll walk you through some of that now. So first of all, in that resources and training tab, you are going to find tons of resources and training. You will find training videos, informational videos, and skill building videos on just about any task that you could take on here at CCL. So say you wanted to write a letter to the editor after listening to this call, but you've never done that before. You can find a training on writing a letter to the editor in the resources and training section. We've also got a lot of great options under the Connect with Others tab. So the first one that I want to highlight is you will have a group for your local group. So you'll find an online group where your group can meet and connect and keep working on projects in between your local meetings under the local groups there. You'll also find action teams, which are, while your local groups are defined by, your local groups are defined by your geography, action teams are defined by your interests. So action teams are groups of volunteers from across the country who share one specific interest. So we have action teams on things like specific faith groups, on activating students, on coal country, on health and healthcare, etc. So I would encourage you to check out those action teams and see if there are any that speak to you and your specific interests. And the last feature of Community that I want to highlight are our forums, which can also be found on the Connect with Others tab. Forums are a really great place to get your questions answered and to start conversations with other volunteers. So if you are looking for ideas for a tabling event and wanted to see if there is already a thread on that for in the forums, you can try searching the forums for that and adding on to a discussion that volunteers are having there. If you have a question about something specific about the bill or about something specific about how to ask your newspaper for something, you can go into the forums there, go to the appropriate forum and try searching for your question. And if you don't find an answer to your question, you can start a new forum topic and either get answers from other CCL volunteers or a prompt answer from our staff.
I want to say on behalf of Sarah and myself and all of the staff at CCL and our volunteers across the country, I want to say thank you for being on the call tonight. It is not fun to look at climate change. It is big and scary and overwhelming at times. So if you are on the call tonight, you are someone with a significant amount of courage, and I want to honor that. And I love this quote that I want to read to you by Eleanor Roosevelt, speaking about courage. "Courage," says Eleanor, "is more exhilarating than fear, and in the long run, it is easier. We do not have to become heroes overnight, just a step at a time, meeting each thing that comes up, seeing it is not as dreadful as it appeared, discovering we have the strength to stare it down." So thank you for having the strength to stare down climate change and the courage to lift up climate solutions. We really appreciate you. And have a good evening.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.